When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Love don't come so easily. Welcome back in the morning, Hookup. Having a great time on a Monday. Let's bring on our guy, Evan Bland, Omaha World Herald. Evan, happy Monday.
Happy Monday, gents.
Are you, you sound like the rest of the country, probably suffering from the, air quotes, Super Bowl hangover Monday.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, everybody stays up later and indulges and all that. And I mean, I think it's another reminder. I saw this around this week, and I'm sure this is not actually gaining any traction, but the notion of moving Super Bowl, the game, to Saturday was always kind of interesting to me. I like the tradition of Sunday, obviously, and probably would be for keeping it that day. But come Monday morning like this, I think there probably would be a lot of people that would say, what if you had this thing on a Saturday afternoon evening, and then you had the next day to, you know, if you're with family or whatever, to travel back or recover, and then you get back to work. So, I don't know. It was fun. Like I've told you guys before, I'm a Broncos fan, so I don't know that I reveled in the outcome necessarily, but it was a close game, and the ads were entertaining enough, and so it's a win.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that because we know you're a Broncos fan, and I don't have a dog in the fight because I don't really have an NFL team, but I think the Super Bowl for me, and if you don't have a team in it, has to hit three elements. It's the game, the commercials, halftime show. If they can hit three, then you're a winner on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And yes, the game was close. The ads I thought were decent. The Pepsi ones to me were really funny with Steve Martin and Ben Stiller. I thought those were well done. In the wheelhouse of guys at my age, I suppose. And then I like the Rihanna show. I know it's not for everybody, and everybody has their own, you know, musical styles and preferences and all that, but I thought it was entertaining and interesting, and so it was a win all the way around.
I mean, obviously the Eagles could have easily won that game, but they didn't. Do you have any doubts that Jalen Hurts and that team could get to one here maybe in the next few years?
Well, we always think that, right? Like the Super Bowl ends and you think, man, these two teams could be back here next year. Like that's always sort of the knee-jerk reaction, but you know, the reality in the NFL, especially with salary caps and things like that, is that it's really hard to keep a roster intact. I was reading even just on the Kansas City side, I think Mahomes takes up close to, it's like 17 or 18% of the cap for his team, which is unusual for a team with a quarterback that takes that much to win the Super Bowl. Usually this happens when guys are on their rookie deals or maybe taking more team-friendly sort of approaches to things. So that was a little bit rare, but you know, I think the Eagles are in some ways a team in transition. Anyone who's a Husker fan and follows Cam Jurgens knows that Jason Kelce could be retiring, as one of the better centers in franchise history. They had a lot of, I think, players that had sort of career seasons this year that may want to be or looking to deservedly get paid here in the near future. So it's hard to sort of maintain that when guys produce and move on, and you have to maintain through the draft. So it certainly is possible. I thought Jalen Hurts silenced a lot of doubters this season. You know, I definitely count me among those who didn't think that he could do what he did over the course of a full season. But they do have a lot of sustainable parts, a lot of what they did on defense was no accident this season. And just their style of offense is so different in the NFL with the quarterback run game and the way that they are able to execute those sneaks at such an elite level on third and fourth and shorts. So, yeah, I think they have a chance to continue to be dominant. But, you know, again, as we see every year, the teams that make it, there is often sort of that hangover effect where guys move on to bigger and better things. So we'll see how it goes.
We're speaking to Evan Bland with the Omaha World Herald. Well, Evan, we haven't asked you. Are you getting? Are you going to San Diego coming up in 4 days?
Man, I wish. That'd be great.
I was thinking I'll be here.
I mean, it's 60 degrees today, so it's not so bad. But no, I'll be hanging out for the first couple weeks.
I was thinking maybe you were scrambling trying to figure out how many shorts that you could take to San Diego. But you'll be here. You'll be here. So, but Nebraska, we're 4 days away. 4 days away from seeing the debut of this Husker baseball team. What are some things that you're going to be looking for in that first series, whether it be rotation or lineup, that you'll be keyed on to see this Nebraska baseball team?
Yeah, it's the first weekend is always really interesting, and especially in a year like this when there's been so much roster turnover. You have a sense, I think, of how the lineup can look and how the rotation looks, but you just never really know until the game hits and adversity strikes and, guys sometimes rise to the occasion and other guys maybe don't as much as you would have thought that they would in practice. But, I think we have a pretty good sense of what at least their first three games will be in terms of their starters, Emmett Olson, Jace Kaminska, and probably Caleb Clark, the freshman. So there's always natural intrigue to see how those three perform against what actually is going to be a pretty good opponent. I mean, San Diego won the West Coast Conference tournament last year. They were a regional team. They're the favorites to win in that conference again this year. So this is not sort of a dip your toe in the water sort of opening series. I mean, this is a strong opponent. I think you'll have a good sense of what Nebraska can be all about right away. But I think all that being said, the thing that I'm looking at in this series and I think is the key to this year is what does the offense look like? Because it was so benign last year. It was anti-clutch. It was in a year when home runs exploded across the sport again. Nebraska sort of did what it did and had one guy who hit double-digit home runs in Max Anderson, and it just wasn't very potent. And so what does it look like with more depth? The guys who we know are talented, like Max Anderson and Bryce Matthews and Garrett Angulum, do those guys take a step forward? What does Dylan Carey bring to the table as that true freshman third baseman who's been really impressive in the offseason? Josh Caron, a catcher, had a great summer and fall. Could he translate that here into the spring? Charlie Fisher, the Southern Miss transfer, probably your first baseman. Does he provide some of that power that Nebraska has been lacking at that position for a couple of years? So there's just a lot of intrigue and a lot of guys who have maybe performed again in their collegiate summer leagues or during fall ball, and the analytics are pointing towards stronger seasons. But you just don't know until you roll the ball out there and see how it goes. So I think that's going to be the number one thing for me is how, is one, can Nebraska score? And two, if it does, how is it happening? Is it is this going to be more of a power lineup, or is this sort of an offense maybe in the mold that we saw in 2021, where they're going to lay down some bunts? You're going to see some of the speed element, and as well as maybe the extra base hits.
We're talking to Evan Bland with the Omaha World Herald. I'm excited to see some guys like Drew Christo and C.J. Hood, who were highly touted freshmen who came in last year. I don't want to say underwhelming, because as a freshman, I'm sure it's tough to come on and immediately do really good things. But talk about those two guys, because I know a lot of fans are really excited to see if they improve here in their sophomore year.
Yeah, they're interesting cases. I mean, Hood is coming off of an injury. I think I would be surprised if you see him much, if at all, this weekend. I think he's still sort of rounding into shape, and maybe March would be a more realistic month that we'll see him. But yeah, I mean, he was last season, I think, second on the team in appearances, and a pretty reliable arm out of the bullpen right away, hard thrower, low to mid 90s. So you think when he gets back, that's obviously an asset for what Nebraska wants to do out of the pen. Christo is an interesting case too, because I think he had something like 8 innings last year, gave up 3 home runs. You talk to some of his coaches, and they kind of felt like he was just sort of feeling things out a little bit tentative with the command, which led to at least a couple of those home runs. But you think about his pedigree. I mean, he was a top 100 national prospect out of Elkhorn, could have gone to Stanford, could have gone to a number of the, you know, college baseball blue bloods, and chose to stay home and to go to Nebraska. And so it's an interesting case because, you know, I think it's a reminder that not everybody's career paths are equal, right? Like some freshmen will come in and dominate from the jump, and that's how it goes. And I think for Christo, the coaches sort of see, and I think I saw last year, you know, a guy who needed a year to maybe adjust, you know, to the college game and to how you pitch hitters and things like that. And so, you know, from a just a character standpoint, an ability standpoint, Christo's, you know, toward the upper end of the roster in terms of those characteristics. And now you think about the fact that pitching was this team's strength last year. It figures to be this team's strength this year. And if Christo can perform anything close to what his projections were out of high school and what his ability level is, I mean, that's going to be huge for Nebraska, whether that's in a midweek role, whether that's a, sort of a high-leverage bullpen sort of situation, whatever it ends up being. I mean, that's I think that's sort of one of your X factors in maybe Nebraska making that jump, you know, to contending for the Big Ten and beyond.
Evan, you mentioned like those guys staying home. And again, I can't wait to see this Husker team get going and get outside and play some baseball and see what that continues to look like as their season progresses coming up. But you mentioned those guys staying home. Nebraska got a 2024 kid that's not staying home. And I think it's a big pickup, obviously, if you're going to go into Iowa and take one of their own in Caden Anderson. What can you tell us about him? And I love when you his quote when you talked to him was, I just want to be a part of it. That just stuck out to me. He's like, I want to be a part of that and what's happening at Nebraska.
Right, yeah. I mean, he followed a similar story, I think, to what a lot of the recent commitments have. This is that time of year when there are these prospect camps, and Nebraska coaches put a lot of emphasis on these off-season camps where they get to lay eyes on different players, where they get to, you know, have their own technology sort of capture what they can do. And the other thing that this staff is really big on is that intangible aspect. What do these guys like to have a conversation with? What are they like from just a competitive standpoint with their peers? And so, you know, Caden Anderson, who's really not far out of Nebraska, Glenwood, Iowa, you know, that's just a hop, skip, you know, south of Omaha, Council Bluffs there. But, you know, he's a guy that wasn't really on Nebraska's radar as recently as I think about a month ago, and, you know, hits it off at the prospect camp. The interesting thing about him is that he grew up an Iowa fan, Hawkeye fan, had an offer to go to Iowa, and ultimately chose Nebraska. And he told me it was a number of different things, whether that's the chance to play early, to be developed. The coaching staff really stood out to him, and he's a kid who really saw his power sort of explode this last season. So there's some, you would think, some high upside there as well. And I think that's just sort of the theme. He fits the mold of a lot of the recruits that Nebraska's added, where they do feel like the intangible side is there, the upside is there, the production, you know, against his level of talent has been there. And if you can keep those guys who are, you know, within 100 miles of the program close to home, typically those are guys that are not going to transfer. Those are guys that are there for the long haul and ready to commit and invest and be part of that program. So I think Caden Anderson, someone they're excited about in the near future, and they're happy to have him aboard.
We're talking to Evan Bland. Evan, yeah, there's a lot of transfers coming in, and you probably might have mentioned, you might have answered this already, but, you know, give me your one transfer who you think fans are going to get to know really quickly, that fans are going to be able to cheer on, and that this transfer is going to be able to affect this team. Who's that transfer, you think?
Jace Kaminska, I think, the Wichita State transfer. He's going to be probably the Saturday starter for Nebraska this year. And, you know, it's a big impact in a lot of ways. I mean, one, you look across the Big Ten at some of the portal activity in the off season, and there's really not anybody that's comparable to what Kaminska's done as far as proven at a different school on the pitching side. There have been some batters that were added to some different schools. Maryland added a really impact batter, and a couple other schools did too, but it's harder to find top-end pitching in the portal, and Nebraska was able to do that in bringing a guy like Kaminsky in. And again, you look at his numbers at Wichita State against fairly comparable competition. He was really dominant. You know, you talk to him too. He is a guy who even his stats I think could be a little bit better because he would say maybe he stayed in games too long at Wichita State, and that led to some runs late. So there's a ton of upside there. He's got the velocity. He's got that competitive makeup that you want in a starting pitcher. And, you know, just the cascading effect of that is really profound for Nebraska, because when you can put a guy like that as your starter on Saturday, then that's part of the reason why you can have guys like Shea Shaneman and Kyle Perry coming out of the bullpen, why you can have multiple other former Friday night starters like Brett Sears or Michael Garza, who are also coming from other schools, why those guys can come out of the bullpen. I mean, that's a huge luxury. So I think Kaminsky would be that guy for me, and I'll give you one more on offense. I think Casey Burnham, the center fielder, could have a big impact on this offense. Just from a skill set standpoint, I think he reminds me a lot of Jackson Hallmark, a guy who's going to give defenses fits by the way he lays down bunts. He's the fastest guy on the team, former track guy out of Grand Island in high school, had been at Kansas as a transfer. So I think that's a guy, too, who's immediately going to shore up that defense in center field, will bring a different element to the offense, and is somebody I think fans will enjoy watching, too.
Something else that'll be really fun and entertaining as well is getting three jerseys retired at Haymarket Park on the 24th of March. Three pretty good former Huskers, right?
Yeah, they were okay. Yeah, Shane Comine and Darren Erstad and Alex Gordon. Yeah, you'll take that.
Yeah, you'll take that. I mean, that'll be pretty electric to see those guys get their jerseys retired, and I'm sure there'll be a huge crowd for that one.
Yeah, it'll be a cool deal. I mean, all three of those guys, I think, were defined by whatever you want to call it, their toughness, their grittiness, just their stubborn determination to to be elite every day, and how hard that is to do. You know, you think about, I think when I think of those three guys, I think about how all of them sort of helped stretch Nebraska baseball to new levels that didn't really seem possible before that, right? Like you think about Darren Erstad and the fact that the number one overall pick in the 1995 MLB draft could have come from a place like Buck Belzer Stadium. I mean, you know, folksy as it was also kind of a dump. And so to have a player of that level come out of there was different and, you know, unprecedented. And you think about Comine as the guy who I don't believe ever lost a start at home, who was there to bridge that era, that Dave Van Horn era, as Nebraska transitioned from Buck Belzer to Haymarket Park. And then Alex Gordon, who wins college baseball's version of the Heisman in the mid-2000s there, and they get back to the College World Series with him as a local kid. All just, you know, guys who took Nebraska baseball to that next step. And it will. It's going to be really cool to see them have their moment in front of Haymarket Park and the fans, and just one more chance to appreciate what they've done for the program.
Yeah, I think it's amazing with those guys, because obviously the most recent, you know, you remember is Gordon. But when you start looking into like Shane Comine's stats and how he rewrote the record books for pitching, you mentioned he 68 career starts. He was 41-8. That's incredible.
Yeah, and his complete games, too. I think he has more complete games than Nebraska as a team has had in the last, like, 10 to 15 years. Like, yeah. It was a different era of baseball. I mean, I think you have to acknowledge that. But, I mean, he just had some epic games that you look at and you sort of look back on and tell the story of. And it's like, really? He had 162 pitches against this team, or he struck out how many against that team? And it was a different era. And you know, I remember him. I grew up going to games at Buck Belzer and remember the Hawaii 5-0 music that they would play when he would take the mound. And you just kind of knew, like, this is one of those games. You never know what's going to happen with a guy like him. And I think you sort of save that sentiment for the best pitchers out there, where it just felt like every time he towed the rubber, it could be something historic or something you haven't seen before on that given day.
Evan, always a pleasure, man. I appreciate your time on the Monday with us. And, man, I can't wait till this time next week and we're talking about actual baseball results.
Let's do it, guys. Yeah, football, may it rest in peace for just a little while, and now we're on to baseball.
Yep, awesome. Thanks, Evan. Appreciate it. Have a great week.
Thanks, guys.
Evan Bland on my award hill right there. Next week, we're going to be talking baseball results.
Let's hope it's good results.
Let's hope it's good results. All right, let's take a break. We're going to come back and talk about the halftime show and the commercials.
The Morning Hookup with Bill Hooks and Will Wilson continues after this.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs.
Mark Starr didn't play much his senior season at Alabama after a coaching change left most seniors on the bench. That didn't stop the Green Bay Packers from taking a chance on Starr, drafting him in the 17th round of the 1956 NFL Draft. The gamble paid off. Starr went on to a Hall of Fame career with 5 NFL championships, as well as winning the first 2 Super Bowls in NFL history, winning the MVP of both.
Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
When there's a chance for a championship trophy, you need to have the right people in the right positions. That's why when you post a job for free, LinkedIn Jobs taps into a network of over 875 million professionals to find the right people for your role. LinkedIn Jobs helps you narrow down to only the most qualified candidates, which means you can start hiring the right people faster. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports to post.